Production. Recorded live.
Grace, mercy, and peace. Thank you for joining us once again in the School of Wisdom, held here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries and Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross International. You can find us on the World Wide Web at www.socmi.net. That's www.socmi.net. I'm very, very excited on the word that God has shared in my heart and through my experiences over the last several months and over the years, actually, on sharing on the wisdom that comes from the wilderness based on Luke 7, 24, and 26. You know, in the time that we live in, you know, it's such a world-driven and such a mindset of the secular that people in these day and times, you know, they don't honor the things that we go through, even though the word said that we pattern after the life of Christ, and Christ did not come on a white horse. In fact, he came on a donkey. But the way and the imbalance of what we're taught as far as God prospering us, people are more concerned about the things and the fame than they actually are about God's wisdom. They teach wisdom so much attached to money that you don't really think about getting God's wisdom just because God has graced us to have that, to be able to care for the things he's already given. But people are seeking after wisdom so they can get fame and fortune, which causes them actually to be poor and broke. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So we thank God tonight as we get ready to go into this lesson very shortly, but we want to share first in the ministry and music and for some worship right now. So we'll be back in a moment.
You now.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We must learn how to wait on the Lord, and in the midst of our waiting, be encouraged. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries and Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International. And we are very excited to share with you tonight what God is speaking into his body as we are encouraged and begin to understand the heart and the wisdom of our Father. Tonight's topic, wisdom that comes from the wilderness. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank the Lord for these revelations and the insights that he's given. It's found in Luke 7, 24 through 26 is where we're going to start at tonight. And we're just really going to scratch the surface as detailed as I'm going to share. We're just really going to scratch the surface. Want to thank, before we go into the message, all of our supporters over the months since April, we have 391 downloads, 296 callers, and 271 of them that have called in live. So we thank the Lord that the message is getting out. People are hearing what God is saying, and they know where to find the truth. Hallelujah. We bless God for it. Praise the Lord. So as we get ready to go into our service tonight, let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, in your mighty name, Jesus, we thank you right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to give us the eyes of understanding, illuminate, hallelujah, that we may be able to see even with more clarity, even out of what we studied. Let revelation come upon revelation, that your people may be able to clearly see the way, not only to your heart and your purpose, but to the success, even as you promised to Joshua. We decree all these blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verses 24 to 26. Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. You know, the Bible lets us to know that there were many, in the sense of there was more than one, men of God that experienced the wilderness, but they were actually few that were cut and fashioned through this wilderness to do a great job. We all going to pass through the wilderness in one form or another, and many that pass through the wilderness, they look for the pretty wilderness. They look for the things that just happen a little something. They lose their car to get repossessed. They lost their home, you know, and they still want to keep an appearance to show forth they're blessed. And, you know, they're having a certain level of experience. But it's another thing when God strips someone absolutely and begins to pour his wisdom out into their life as they call on God in the midst of everything failing, feeling like they want to quit, feeling like it's done. You know, you didn't know in the Garden of Gethsemane, in case you didn't know, you didn't read it, Jesus said, "Father, if there's any other way, can you please take this cup away from me? Let it pass by." Paul, in one of his experiences, said he was about to go to the level of even ready to take his life because he suffered such destruction, hallelujah, and such, hallelujah, opposition, that he was ready, you know, to give in and not be able to continue on. So tonight we're going to talk about some of these men and women of God and show forth some of the great experiences and the things they were challenged with, hallelujah, in the Word. So let's open up our Bibles to Luke 7 and 24. The Word says, "After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out there to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in the palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." Hallelujah. I want to just stay right there. Notice that John the Baptist had a specific call. It was designed and fashioned in his wilderness experience of his whole life a certain way, and people were drawn to him in the wilderness. They actually came into the wilderness to hear his message, hallelujah, to be baptized in the different places that he baptized them in water. You know, the Bible talks about the Judean wilderness, and the people came out and gathered and met him there. It talks about his clothing and how he looked, hallelujah. He didn't look like a prophet as far as what today is described, but in that day and time, they understood those that were raised with a Nazarite commitment to God, because they didn't cut their hair and they didn't wear all the fashion, and they were very strange and outside of the normal house operation. Praise the Lord. So Jesus identifies to the people that he's discipling and sharing with who this John is and how they all went out to see him in the wilderness. Because those that are in luxury and in expense, he said that they are in the palaces. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So many want to go to the palace, but Jesus came to deliver those that was trodden upon and those that were weak in society and those that were taken advantage of. There was great wisdom that came out of the wilderness. Glory be to God. We find John the Baptist in the wilderness preaching repentance and being baptized, hallelujah, and everyone came from everywhere to see this man. And as a matter of fact, as the scripture starts out in verse 24, it deals with John's messengers, that John's followers, John's students, John's proteges, John's spiritual sons, that he birthed out of the wilderness. He was in the wilderness, and he was a spiritual father, and I ain't going to get deep into that. But the Bible lets us to know, even as we go and we look at other men and women of God, they always birthed and fathered from out of wilderness. See, many don't actually know that the mountaintop experience, it's not when you have the finer things in life and they manifest to the sight of people. Your actual mountaintop experience happens in the wilderness. Glory be to God. We're going to take some examination on that. Moses got instruction from God in the wilderness. We find this, hallelujah, in Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In other scripture, we know that God spoke and gave him the Ten Commandments at the top of the mountain. Glory be to God. So in the wilderness, we find men and women of God having mountaintop experiences, and they were experiences that happened while they were in the face of our God Almighty. Hallelujah. In the wilderness, God sows wisdom into our heart. After we come out the wilderness, hallelujah, there's a busyness that goes on. We get busy in doing God's work, sharing the word, doing ministry or what have you. And in those times, though you may hear the word of the Lord, you may get some instruction, but it's not the same wisdom that comes when God fashions you in the wilderness. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We find in 1 Samuel, blessed be the name of the Lord, chapter 22, we find David, hallelujah, 1 Samuel 22 and 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. See, they're in the wilderness, they're in the cave. They came to him in the cave, glory be to God. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. My God, God brings wisdom out of the wilderness. God births spiritual fathers in the wilderness. Now, when I say this, be very clear. He doesn't birth spiritual fathers in the wilderness, and then when they come out, they start fathering. They father in the wilderness. We know this story about Moses. On an average, they say there was 3 million people that God sent him to, his people, to bring deliverance to out of the hands of Pharaoh and Egypt. And the Lord said that they walked around in a circle for years upon years upon years. If I remember correctly, 40 years, Moses was their leader, their spiritual father in the wilderness. Hallelujah. God gave him spiritual sons and the 70 elders, and out of that was produced leaders over thousands, hundreds, tens, hallelujah, 50s and tens. Hallelujah. He became a forefather, but it was all birthed and activated and operated in the wilderness. You see, people miss the wisdom of the wilderness. They wait to look for what God has sent to be already fashioned and ready to go, so to speak, as far as having things, having a Rolls Royce and having, you know, properties and lands and having a certain amount of wealth. You know, people go picking and choosing who they want to father them, and they really are on the back end of what God has already done already. They're just becoming a part of the crowd as Jesus had, and they're not really there getting any main thing because they're part of the other people that are just following because it's big, it's famous, it's popular, it's known. But Jesus developed his disciples in the wilderness. You know, the scripture says that the disciples left him, and he asked the 12, are you going to leave me also? Praise the Lord. See, Jesus, the word says very clear, he told one that wanted to follow, the Son of Man, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man does not have nowhere to rest his head. Now, many give different revelations. They don't want to build Christ in an image of literally coming down and living amongst the poor, the lower in society, and God using him in a great way. You know, the word says that Peter was of the unlearned, that the apostles were of the unlearned. They wasn't in the well-to-do society. They knew the Jewish laws, and they were raised as Jews, but they were not considered to be teachers of the law, scribes of the law, or any high official inside of the nation of Israel. So they wasn't considered to be nobody. Hallelujah. But Jesus took some nobodies, and by obedience and submission to the authority of God's wisdom in their life, out of the wilderness, produced what we see as the early church and the thing that we follow into even today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some more example in Scripture. Let's go over to Galatians, and let's go to chapter 1. And let's read verse 11 through verse 18. Glory be to God. This is dealing with Paul after he's had the Damascus Road experience. And just like Jesus Christ in Luke, the Bible says that Jesus, after the Holy Spirit had came upon him, after he had the not just visitation, but after he had the word fulfilled and the promise of the Holy Spirit released in his life, the Bible says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. See, the wilderness is the building place. It's the place that actually establishes who you are. And when I say who you are, what you were birthed for, we see the story with Joseph that he spent time in slavery. He spent time from prison to prison to prison, hallelujah, before he came forth, as a governor with kingly authority. Hallelujah, glory be to God. But it was through the wilderness that the wisdom was produced inside of his life. We're talking tonight of the wisdom that comes from the wilderness. Praise the Lord. So we find here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 18. I want you to know, brothers, this is Paul speaking, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. I want to stop right there in verse 16. When the time well pleased the Lord. You know, that whole life journey that Paul was actually walking in, as much as he thought he was in, and he was working the works of God, he actually was in a wilderness. He was living outside of what God had predestined him for. Hallelujah. His first area of wilderness experience was as he was doing the things that he was doing against the Lord, he was actually walking in ignorance and walking, hallelujah, outside of revelation. But verse 17 says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. He went immediately after he had an encounter with the Lord, after he was blind and fasted for 3 days, after the prophet Ananias laid hands on him, like the Lord said, and opened his physical eyes back up once again with a new and different sight. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We find him being sent to the desert, glory be to God, in Arabia. And the word says in verse 18 that after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I saw none other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. So he only saw Peter and James, hallelujah. And he was sent there by the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah. And the Bible says further in Scripture, I believe it's in Galatians chapter 2, and I think it's a little further down. It speaks on, hallelujah, how he went there, glory be to God, by revelation of the Lord, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship in confirmation of his sending commissioned by Christ to the Gentiles because none of them commissioned him. I know in some teachings, you know, they teach and they say that Peter was Apostle Paul's spiritual father, but it cannot be because God had fashioned him separately to pioneer a work. And when God brings forth a pioneer, he separates them from everything present, and he begins to sow and revelate to them himself personally. We're talking about the wisdom that comes from the wilderness. Praise God. Glory to his mighty name. Now let's take another look back. Hallelujah. Let's go back and let's look at Elijah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at Elijah's experience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's deal with and let's see how Elijah handles his situation. Bless God. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, starting at verse 1, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishb in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He told him to leave here, turn eastward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan. It says, you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. God sent him in the wilderness. He gave him a dirty bird, hallelujah, to make supply for him. And out of the wilderness, God produced wisdom and insight, because as the Lord gave him instruction when the brook dried up to get to Zarephath, and he went to Zarephath and took the anointing of his life to make supply for himself and the widow woman. Glory be to God. He didn't go to the palace. Glory to his mighty name. He didn't go to the king. God sent him to a woman that was in trouble, because as a prophet of God, he just needed an instrument willing to heed and hear what the word of the Lord said. And she obeyed what the prophet said. And as he spoke into her life to go and borrow pots, the Bible says that she never ran out, hallelujah, of oil and nothing else. She was always had food during that time of famine. God always sends a prophet from the wilderness in a time of famine that has been fashioned and conditioned pre-coming into that time and season. You see, all of the people that sit in the palace and in the high places during a time of famine, they're trying to protect their position. They're trying to maintain their high place. They're trying to obtain their fame, their fortune, hallelujah, and their notoriety. But what happens, God always raises those up from the wilderness that God may once again speak through mighty wisdom, that signs, wonders, and miracles be performed, that the attention be taken from man and his image that he's elevated above God back into the image of God once again, hallelujah. There is great release, great fire, great authority that comes out of every wilderness experience. Glory be to God. We find different men and women of God that God has fashioned, and as we began to read their stories and their history, we find out that God released them into operation, and they came up on the scene, and they exploded, but we began to find the history of how much they spent praying with the Holy Spirit, how much time they spent separated, consecrated, and cut away. And that story don't happen to everybody. Everybody don't come and just pop up on the scene. Everybody don't come and just have notoriety as it appearingly comes from nowhere. But God begins to make them in the cage, the wildernesses of this life, the side of the road. They are the discontent. They are the injustice. They are the dis-ease. Hallelujah. They are those that have been left on the side of the road by that precious body and that precious group of Christians. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord that God is such an awesome and powerful God, that he continues to fulfill his word and cause everything that he says to come to pass at such a mighty and powerful level that man still cannot understand. But let me let you know and guarantee you this, Everything that you see that is present, God formed it prior to its time, that the assignment of their life that they were born to do would be fulfilled. God has raised some governors in the wilderness like he's done for Joseph for a time like this, but many of them have lost their focus. They've lost their purpose. Hallelujah. But God had another army like he told Elijah that he had not released yet, and God is bringing forth those out of the wilderness now. Hallelujah. Those spiritual fathers, those leaders, those prophets, those apostles, those evangelists, pastors, and teachers from different walks of life that he had operating certain ways, even as he had Paul operating certain ways. Some of them are persecutors of the church. Some of them have caused Christians dismay and great discomfort. But when the time well pleases God, what he has first birthed them for, they shall be released into action. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are talking tonight about the wilderness that produces wisdom. In the wilderness is where the wisdom comes from. Hallelujah. Notice when you began to try to follow everyone else and their insight, hallelujah, you become a go-by. You become a clone. You become an imitator and an emulator of what has happened with them. And notice you don't usually get the exact same results because God has fashioned us uniquely, specifically for our purpose. You know, there's a blind-eyed promise of everybody receiving a certain level of financial increase or financial worth, but the real truth is it's not that God can't and will not do it, but it all depends on your call. It all depends on your purpose. It all depends on what God birthed you for. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. How many no-name people that you never heard of in major companies, countries, that have walked this walk, held up the blood of Christ? Thousands have got saved that a big name may come along and be able to reap the benefits or apparently reap what they haven't sown, but others had died so they can have that opportunity. See, we all play a part, and we got to know our part in place. Stephen didn't raise a big congregation. He didn't have thousands of members following his church, hallelujah, but he set a precedent and set an order, glory be to God, that made the religious leaders angry and mad enough that they wanted to silence his voice, glory be to God. But he was one crying in the wilderness, just like John the Baptist, hallelujah. Peter was one crying in the wilderness. Jesus was one crying out from in the wilderness. He never invoked his authority. He never invoked his lineage, his heirship to the throne of King David. But from out of the wilderness, great wisdom was manifest, brought forth, and birthed. Hallelujah. You got to understand your measure. Glory be to God. You got to get your sight together. You're looking for people to deliver you out of your situation, and you're looking for them to deliver by giving you things. Now, the truth is you don't need to search for any woman or man of God, so to speak, to give you the things you need to take care of you. There's a place for that in Scripture for those group of people. But what you need is to get your life back in right relationship with God. Hallelujah. That's why God is forming those on the outside. And in those he's forming, he has birthed fathers and leaders. You don't have to like it, but you're not God. His way is perfect. His way is divine. And he's made the choice before any of us came along. Hallelujah. He chose who would lead and who would follow. He chose what level of your leadership you would be. Hallelujah. And how far you would be able to go. And the only way that things are changed within that framework, it depends on your obedience and your trustworthiness. It depends on what God put a cap on, what he sent you to do. See, people think they've been birthed to be a prophet, be an apostle. That's a function that's part of your assignment. All of the gifts, all of the callings, all of the administrations, the talents, and the attributes that God has released into your life is in support of this assignment that he birthed you with. You see, someone that is birthed to be a president or to be a governor or hallelujah, or to be a local councilman or leader, God births them and gives them all the talents, gifts, and abilities to successfully carry out that assignment. And each is given a certain release and measure in those talents and gifts and abilities. Hallelujah. So we all come with a certain limitation. And when I say that, understand what I'm saying clearly. When I say a certain limitation, God has only gave you a certain level of faith, a certain level of the ability to endure. So you may be one that confess and say, man, I can't take that or do that that person did. So you ought to honor them to be able to endure where they're able to endure at, because God had put it in their DNA before they ever came to the planet Earth. They're not in a shame at their lowest point, at their hardest time. They're actually in their greatest victory, because everything you see later is a manifestation of what has happened with them spiritually. That's why I said people are Johnny come lately. By the time they see someone rise up and everything is all big and blooming, hallelujah, they're actually the latecomers. Jesus had latecomers that came later on. They wanted to join the bandwagon later on, but it was 12 that he picked and 11 that stayed faithful to the end. Hallelujah. The word said that the 12 produced and came, and one scripture said 70 and another the 72. Now, all these leaders birthed followers, they birthed sons and daughters, they birthed proteges, they mentored those from out of a position in the wilderness. We need to stop imbalancing the word and make Jesus appear that he came in the great white knight and shining armor. Nobody respected Jesus except for the wisdom that he had. It shows the same image when we look at Joseph. He's an image of Jesus type. He had the coat of many colors, the coat and the color representing all of the nations. Hallelujah. And though he was birthed in intelligence and wisdom, that wisdom came from God. Hallelujah. And the Bible lets us to know he first became a slave, and then he was falsely accused. He was ridiculed. He was whipped. He was scorned. But it was his wisdom that delivered him at the time that people needed him. See, the wisdom that God gave you is not for you to go out and get money and to get Rolls Royces, Bentleys, and 1,001 homes. Now, I'm not against that. Understand what I'm saying in its perfect balance. God didn't birth you like that to lift yourself up so high, but he put you in position to take care of his people when the time came. But many has violated that principle, and now the time has come, they crying to God to give them more. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory be to God, because they've lost some things through violation, not setting apart and storing up for when God would have called them to bring that release. Hallelujah, glory be to God. These are those God called and gave them a Nehemiah assignment, a Nehemiah 5 assignment. Hallelujah. To restore those that were being taken advantage of by the other leaders within the fold, within the house, within the church. Hallelujah. But we got so many taking advantage of the disposition of Christian believers today. They are not strong. They have not been discipled correctly. They don't have the full wisdom and insight of God. So their character is shoddy. Their integrity is shoddy. And though they work under anointing, they don't realize they just like Peter. They're betrayers of Christ. He has given them all the gifts and abilities, unmerited favor, but they are not going out and producing a harvest with what he gave them. They are constantly asking for more because they don't feel God is fair. So we thank God for the wisdom that comes out of the wilderness. We thank God for the spiritual fathers that God has in the wilderness. some that will remain and birth sons, and the sons may become great people, though they remain in a state of lowliness. But the power and authority that God uses in their life to birth many, many others will always have those that will show kindness and gratitude. Paul did not live in the palace. Matter of fact, the word said out of Paul's lips, though he worked on occasion, the Bible said he was hungry often, without often, and he was in prison often. Glory be to God. We're talking about great men of God that as people identify an apostolic office and they call and they deal with all the attributes of what an apostle is, as Paul spoke it, but they miss the key elements of what his suffering was in order to have those qualifications. Now, I'm not disidentifying or dishonoring or saying someone doesn't have the office or someone doesn't have that place as far as apostle, prophet, or any of the gifts, hallelujah, of grace that God has given to them. But there's measures. And you can't dishonor someone else because they don't look like you or have what you have, but yet and still you see the wisdom and authority that comes out of their life that causes transformation to happen inside of your life. You can't dishonor that just because you don't see the other things that you've been highlighted on that they've highlighted as the qualified. But the Bible says the qualifier of these great men was being able to do the great work from out of the wilderness, being raised up by Christ himself, being set apart, being persecuted, lied on, and ridiculed. You know, Paul talked about being dishonored. He talked about God having to restore his reputation because he was lied on. Glory be to God. He went out and did the work of the Lord in faithfulness, and people lied on him, and people accused him of things. Matter of fact, the Bible shows him going to the Thessalonian church, and he preached the gospel there, and he refuted with them inside of the temple, and the Bible says division happened, and some was with him, and some was against him, and they ran him out of the synagogue, but 12 people followed him. And because we don't see that really happening in no other apostles, because they may see a apostle like myself doing that, they want to say it's Jezebel or that's not God. You need to read your Bible and abide in your calling, because the truth always going to bear witness. I understand why Paul constantly said that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, because he had people constantly coming against his apostleship because they wanted to be the qualifier. But the witness was, as he said in his word, by what was written on the hearts of the people whose lives was transformed. They was his witness. It wasn't by letters. It wasn't by ordination. And I'm not against ordination and consecration and affirming someone. I'm not saying that. But the ultimate proof of someone really being called to where they're called to is by the witness of what they do in people's life, and not just sign, wonders, and miracles, but we're talking about they take the character and integrity of their life and able to transfer that into others, all based out of the two commandments of love that all of the other law and everything else hang on. You know, the word says there is no law that can come against love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We're talking about the wisdom that comes from the wilderness. There's no sense in people getting jealous or envious, hallelujah, about what God has given you. They got the things, but you got the wisdom. You know, because Solomon, in a state after he had fell and he realized, hallelujah, how great what God had given him, and through simple disobedience, it brought shame and dishonor. So he wrote about it. See, he shared wisdom from the upside and the downside. And in Ecclesiastes 2:26, he noted and said that God gives to those that please him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to those that are sinners, he gives the job to get wealthy, that they may see the one with God's wisdom, the one that pleases God, and give to them. See, we don't see that happening in great multitudes. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm not saying nobody ain't been blessed that way. But we don't see that as a place of outstanding, because what happens is people have shifted their position from seeking after wisdom that God said he'll give freely, of God wisdom. They seeking after world wisdom. They seeking after the wisdom of someone else that got their wisdom from someone else instead of getting the wisdom from God. See, when I say that, I want to be clear. When God gives you the wisdom, he's going to point you to certain things, and then he's going to point you to people that are saying what he said to confirm it. Every time God releases something to us, God is going to show it forth in a person. Sometime he'll show it forth in a person in another man or woman of God in Scripture, and then show it operating in the earth realm. Hallelujah, glory be to God. We are talking about the wisdom that comes from the wilderness. In your wilderness experience, however long you have to stay, you stay there. Because it says patience, love works patience. Patience works kindness, you know, and so forth. You know, you add to that virtue. I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1, hallelujah, and you read from 1 through 10. It tells you the things that God gives us to give us his divine nature, the character of God, because we're made in his likeness and image. But though we're made in his likeness and image, the word says, but we were shaped and born in iniquity because of the fall of Adam, we have through Jesus Christ our image in God being restored. But if we don't take on the full image, then we're still walking around with a damaged image. And I'm going to tell you how you know when someone got a damaged image. That's when they constantly try to emulate their own presence. You don't see the presence of the Lord projected. They constantly are emulating their presence. See, the more you're humble to God, the more he promotes you as his representative. The more that you promote yourself as his representative, the more people see you, because you're operating outside of God's will, it usually turns into an imbalance. And this is why we have what God has described to me several months ago as a house of God that is a den of thieves, because we have marketers. We have pastors that's turned into marketers, and they're given an unfair exchange. You sow into them great balance, but when you put it to the scale, they haven't sold you back much. You know, Jesus whipped them out of God's house and said they made God's house a den of thieves, because what they were exchanging people on, the measure that they were charging them for them to get a sacrificial lamb, you know, to get their offerings for sacrifice, they were overcharging them. And they wasn't giving them the best. They was giving them broke up lambs, and they was giving them deformed animals. Hallelujah. You know, the word that's coming back for people that's sowing in, they're giving them defective revelations. My God. They're giving them things that's tainted, or they're giving back something that's measured out, and it's given out just a little bit at a time, and they prosper the greatest, but it's like paying a long-term interest loan. You constantly paying more and never get to the principle of the matter. My God. Glory to his mighty name. You never get to the principle of what God is saying. You never get the principle because you're constantly paying the interest. Glory to his mighty name. But out of the wilderness, wisdom is produced, and the men and women of God that God has called forth shall rise with great honor, great authority, and great fame, for the wisdom that God would give them in this time and this season. Hallelujah. I just know by the Spirit of the Lord that you've been greatly blessed tonight, for the Holy Spirit has spoken and brought forth the truth and laid it out into your hearing. Every person that will hear this word, download this word, as you meditate on this word, God will begin to line this up in your life, began to show you your specific assignment. You see, Martin Luther King preached the gospel, But Martin Luther King's assignment, as we look in his life, his assignment from birth was to bring two opposing nations into one. He said he had a dream of white kids and black kids holding hands. Hallelujah. That was his assignment, to unite the divide that was between white America and black America. Nelson Mandela came behind him with the same issue that was happening in Africa in apartheid, to bring the Africana and the African into one unified group. Glory be to God. You got to know that you've been assigned for more than just the function as a fivefold gift ministry. That's the power and authority to help you get the job done. That's the grace measure to help you get the job done. Whether you're a prophetic psalmist, hallelujah, that's what God has given you to get the job done. Whether you're a prophetic teacher, you're a prophet with a strong teaching anointing, that's what God has given you, the function to get the job done. But you got to know what your assignment is. And if you understand it like Paul and like Peter and like Jesus and like Elijah and like Joseph and like Moses and like Abraham, then you'll begin to stop crying for God to give you peace for a temporary moment out of your present circumstance, and you'll go on and finish up your wilderness experience so you can reach the mountain and come out and be the champion that God has called for you to be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father God, we thank you right now for as you poured out your word tonight, that, Lord, this word, as I obeyed your assignment, this word would go around and cross the nation throughout the world and touch the heart of your leaders, those in caves on the side of the road, and those that's been rejected, even those that came and met David in the cave, and he became their leader in the cave. Glory be to God. Lord, raise up this new nation, for this generation is dying and going forth quickly, hallelujah, into the abyss, into the eternal death. But God, raise up the true laborers to snatch them out of the way of death and deposit them back into the way of life. I call it forth in your mighty name, Jesus, as your apostle with this authority to speak into the spiritual realm, into the regions around the world. And I call forth, hallelujah, all of those that God has commanded in this season and time. Don't look for your provision. That's the whole mystery of Matthew chapter 6, when God says in verse 38, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added." People have mistakenly switched up and started to seeking the additions. But the primary thing is seeking God first and his righteousness, seeking God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. If we know the way that God wants things done, then everything else we need to carry it out will come. You don't have to be the possessor of it. Praying the wrong prayer, if you want God to make you wealthy, you don't have to be the wealthy person, because let me tell you what's wisdom, even in wealthy people. Wealthy people don't want to own their money. They just want to control it. Hallelujah. That's where the true power is, in controlling the outcome of how it's distributed. Glory be to God. The apostles were your basic everyday philanthropists who did not have philanthropy because they made great wealth, but they were given the wealth transfer into their, hallelujah, not possession, but into their control, because they were trusted to be good distributors. If you're praying for God to make you wealthy, make sure that's your assignment. And if God has called you to make you wealthy, be a good steward over who and how you sow into, but make sure that you sow. The Bible says do especially good to the household of faith. We have an example in our fellow co-brethren in our Jewish nation, from Messianic Jew to even Jews that have not seen Christ coming yet, but they practice their money circulating seven times before it's released outside of their community. They make sure that their nation is strong and kept strong before anyone else can take a benefit. We must get that mindset and understand, hallelujah, it's not racial, it's not discriminatory, but how would you go out and strengthen the hand of your opposers against you before your hand is more stronger than theirs? And that's why on certain levels, as I close, I'm not very happy with all of these men and women of God, not absolutely against them, but how they've empowered the businessmen of the world that don't want to know Christ as their personal Savior, but they just want to know a little bit just so they can get more money. So now their hand has been strengthened against the children of God that don't have that same wisdom. See, they went out there and they prospered and they got wealthy, and then later on they started teaching and bringing it to the house of God. I'm not particularizing it to no one specific person because, like I said, they are my brothers. But God has shown me great revelation that they gave to the sinner the keys of the kingdom and strengthened the hand of the unbeliever over the hand of the children of God. See, we got a couple of battles going on. But I tell you, those God has separated and consecrated and have made in the wilderness, they spend their life day and night fighting and bringing deliverance in the spirit world and manifesting in the flesh, hallelujah, through the operations of men and women of God that God is bringing forth. So we thank you tonight for joining us. And may the Lord continue to show his mighty, mighty authority, his mighty strength, and it's mighty peace into your life. Hallelujah. May you understand when God says that you won't have no lack, that lack starts, first of all, him fulfilling that you have no lack in your mind and in your soul. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. If your mind is not transformed, then you actually cannot become wealthy because you don't have the right mindset. Even wealthy people know that are outside of the kingdom. Hallelujah. They're writing books. The millionaire mindset, the billionaire mindset. See, it's about how someone thinks in order for them to be able to live at certain levels. And if God has not birthed you into that level, I don't care how many times you try, it ain't going to happen for you. In case you didn't know, there's some people that fail at being financially wealthy because God ain't called them there because he know if he gave them that level of success, they would forget God. Hallelujah. They're not called to that. I didn't say they won't have money. I didn't say God can't make them a millionaire or a couple of million. I said they won't be wealthy, key word, because having a couple million don't make you wealthy. They will not be people of great wealth. Glory to his mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries. Hallelujah. An outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International. You can find us on the World Wide Web at socmi.net. That's socmi.net. You can learn more about the vision of God in the work here pertaining to the whole vision of God's purpose for us in humanity. You can learn more about me and my life. Our bio is very extensive. You get to know us personally. Hallelujah. As we've put down and wrote out the things that let people know who we are and what we have done. Glory to his mighty name. At the bottom of the first page, there is a link there that you can send a donation to this ministry as God so leads you. Hallelujah. And you have been blessed by this work. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. On Saturdays, we are working our apostolic network called Lean Lion Eagle Apostolic Network. We gather there every Saturday on conference call at 11 a.m. And on Sundays, we do the gathering. It's an extension of local meetings that we travel a lot. And we do local meetings, but we are in the process of establishing a local place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we ask you to continue to keep us in your prayers and to join us on these different service days as God continues to pour out and fill our hearts so that we may sow into your ears what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So we thank you once again for joining us this evening. You have a wonderful and glorious day. Peace.